Oh, right. Right.
See, I don't know,
Really?
because I feel like Jesus would not be a Raider. I can't
I don't
say he
think he
would be a
would
Chiefs
either.
fan, but I do not think he would be a Raiders fan.
They're okay. They're, I mean, I'm kind of with you
Yeah,
there on that.
there's too much history. That's mixing good fish and bad fish.
WNBA fan. Why are you laughing, Mark?
Hi, this is Jason and Mark with Interman Radio.
A free service to thinkers everywhere, demystifying the Bible by asking the questions your neighborhood pastor is afraid to answer.
All right, Mark, we, as promised last time, we were talking about the parable of the wheat and the tares.
Yes.
And we were going to lump this parable in with that, but we decided not to because there was so much good stuff there. And there's so much good stuff here, too. So let's make an episode out of it.
All right. This episode, then, is about the dragnet out of Matthew chapter 13. And it goes like this. Jesus said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach and they sat down and gathered the good fish in the containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
All right. So I noticed a couple of things that are different here from the parable of the wheat and tares, and I thought I'd throw these at you.
All right.
And we have not rehearsed this ahead of time. Like,
why would we?
Well, yeah, right. Well, so we decided that we were going to do a little bit more impromptu episodes from now on. Keep it more.
Adds an element of authenticity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Raw. Interman Radio Raw. Okay. So, all right. The parable of the wheat and tares. Really, one of the points we made is that God allows both to grow together. And it is for the good of the wheat that both grow together, because if the tares were torn up, it would tear the wheat up with it as well.
Right.
So Christians are in the world. The field is the world. We're in the world. We're growing up around and with people that are of the world. And it is for the benefit of both, really, that they're not torn up beforehand. In this case, though, I'm not sure that it's to the benefit of the good fish to hang out with the stinky fish until the angels come and sort them out on the seashore. Does that make sense? So it seems like there's a little something else going on here, or am I wrong on that?
No, I don't think so. But the emphasis is just in a little bit different place. So with the wheat and the tares, it's similar because God is not tasking the wheat with removing the tares in the same way that the good fish are not given the responsibility of removing all the bad fish. They're really, the kingdom of heaven or the church is very much like the just that dragnet that's picking up what seemingly are just random fish out of the sea, grabbing everybody indiscriminately. We're just casting a broad net in order to try and pull in as many as possible.
Okay.
So then what do we do with them?
Right. That was the question I was
In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Do not judge, lest you be judged," in verse 1. "For by the way you judge, you'll be judged. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." And so some might look at Matthew 13 and say, well, then we ought not to judge at all. We should just accept everyone as they are and just allow the dragnet to be full. And the pews will be full, and all will be well, and we'll just let the Lord sort it out at the end.
There's too much teaching about what the behavior of a Christian is to look like for us to let that stand as is. That is to say that I really don't know what to think.
Well, so someone might look at this and they'll say, well, the job of the church is just to bring in everyone indiscriminately, and there even are some other illustrations that Jesus gave. You know, he talked about the wedding feast, and we discussed that and how, you know, he sends them out to everywhere, right? At first, those who were invited didn't come. And so Jesus just throws open the doors and the invitation goes out to everyone. And, you know, that brings in Gentiles and everybody else. And the wedding hall is filled with dinner guests.
Yeah. Well, how'd that work out for the gentleman in the church at Corinth who had his father's wife, who Paul says, get him out you know, put him out from among you. And the church was being judged because of that man's presence, and they were even approving of it. So it would seem like the point here isn't this blanket statement that there is no judgment within the church. But also we're told that there is, well, yeah, in fact, we're told there is judgment within the church.
Yeah, right, right. You should, to quote again, Paul, is that section you're referring to in Corinthians, he says, remove the wicked man from among yourselves, right?
Yeah.
And so he gave them that particular responsibility. And the same is true in Matthew chapter 7. You have that sort of, that both sides of that coin. On the one hand, he begins the chapter by saying, do not judge lest you be judged. But about two-thirds of the way through, he's encouraging them to carefully inspect the tree, that is the fruit of people around him. Grapes aren't gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles. He warns them about wolves in sheep's clothing and encourages them to really carefully inspect and therefore judge the fruit of those around them so that they wouldn't be taken advantage of by those who claim to be one thing and are not. They claim to be, in this case, to mix our parables, good fish, but they really aren't.
But let's define judge.
Uh-huh.
Because in one sense, we're judging actions to be right or wrong. We're judging potential motives based on those actions.
Yep.
We are not making final judgment for a person's destination.
That is true.
Does not belong to us.
Right. There's a number of things that the scripture does absolutely preclude us from making judgments about. One of them are the opinions or the preferences of our Christian brethren. So we're to accept the one, even him who is weak in faith, Paul says in Romans 14:1, but not for the sake of passing judgment on his opinions. In the same way, Paul says there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. So there aren't supposed to be any of those external judgments based on those physical things that delineate, things that make lines between people. He said those ought not to be there.
Okay, like Chiefs fan versus Raiders fan. Oh, right? Right?
See, I don't know, because I feel like Jesus would not be a Raiders fan. I can't say he would be a Chiefs fan, but I do not think he would be a Raiders fan.
I'm kind of with you there.
Yeah, there's too much history. That's mixing good fish and bad fish.
WNBA fan. Why are you laughing, Mark? Okay.
This is not, yeah,
right.
Quickly getting uncomfortable for me.
So things that don't matter spiritually, those are things of opinion. We are not to judge with regard to those things,
right? Okay. Those things that are external, they really don't have much. They don't have much bearing on Christianity. James is quite emphatic, right, in chapter 2, where he talks about don't judge your neighbor based on his social or economic status. Don't demean him. Don't admire or revere someone else because they're more financially successful or, you know, dressed with a gold ring and fine clothes and all that. So we're not supposed to make those sorts of judgments, but we are supposed to make judgments about how people conduct themselves and draw some conclusions on that basis. Now, here's the challenge, though. When it comes to drawing all the fish into the dragnet, which ones do we bring? Which ones do we cast to? Well, only those that are good, right?
Well,
the problem is,
yeah.
How do you know?
You don't. Just like when the disciples were casting their net over the side of the boat, they really didn't know how many fish were in the water when they cast the net.
Right.
They really couldn't see what's in there. They're throwing the net out and seeing what it pulls up. Jesus says, oh, throw it on the other side. And of course, they bring in a haul. Right?
Yeah,
But they didn't know which side. So wouldn't it be similar if we're using the net as the example here? And Jesus is, when you throw that in the water, you don't know what's under the surface.
You don't.
You're bringing it all up.
Right. You don't know. So barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, right? You don't know what's coming up. When you cast out the gospel message, when you sow that seed, to mix our metaphors, when you cast that out, you don't know who's going to respond or why, right? They might, not everybody who responds to the gospel does so out of, out of authentic motives. Should it be our job to try and determine who deserves to hear the gospel or whether or not we should allow them to continue to pursue it.
No.
But no.
We make the, it's tempting to make those judgments ahead of time, though.
Sure.
Especially when it comes to, well, I think this person would really be receptive to the gospel, so I'm going to mention it to them.
Yeah.
Oh, they probably really wouldn't be because of whatever external things that we would notice or what their lifestyle or whatever. They probably don't want to hear it, so we withhold it from them. Was that what you're talking about?
And that is the judgment, that sort of pre-qualifying people to hear the gospel. That is the kind of judgment that we are absolutely not allowed to do. Say, well, I think this person, yeah, they'd make a fine Christian. You can't do that. Or this person wouldn't. Our job is just to cast out the net of the gospel, and it catches what it catches. And then for those who are willing to try and make the effort, well, we may find ourselves in a position of forgiving 70 times 7. And it really doesn't fall to us to make those distinctions. That's going to be something that the Lord sorts out when he arrives. Again, to use another of Jesus' illustrations of the wedding feast, the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests, but when he came in, he found there someone not dressed in wedding clothes. So the result is, of course, he gets thrown out, much like the bad fish that were removed and tossed out of the kingdom. Same idea. The Lord is the one who's going to make that determination. And because there's places where we can't see. So our job is to do the best that we can with what we have available to us. And sometimes we'll have to make difficult decisions based on someone's actions, based on the fruit that they've produced. But other times, it may not be observable to us where somebody's at. And in that case, the Lord is the one who's going to have to make that decision. And when he comes again, that's exactly what will happen. He's going to remove out of his kingdom those stumbling blocks. And in this case, he'll take forth all the wicked from among the righteous and cast them into the furnace of fire, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sometimes those judgments border on the line of the subconscious.
How do you mean?
Well, I notice it's really easy to be more comfortable around certain people than other people.
Ah.
Particularly people that might have things in common with me.
Uh-huh.
If I'm more comfortable in one demographic than another, well, it might be easier or less awkward maybe to cast the net of the gospel. We're going to have to guard against that deliberately and try and really force ourselves to be comfortable equally in all situations.
That takes a level of faith, because usually we're comfortable in a situation, like socially speaking, we're comfortable because we might have certain likes and dislikes as other people. But sometimes that can be like, well, they wouldn't listen to me because they're this way and I'm this way, and who am I to give them the gospel? There's all kinds of things that we could prejudge that way that might just be the result of lack of our own confidence, or we're seeing things through the eyes of the flesh and we're comparing ourselves to them in the flesh. Well, here, I'm at this social economic status. This guy is the CEO. Why would he listen to me? You know, so we prejudge that ahead of time, or this guy's my boss, or this gal's the HR gal, or whatever. So, but what you're talking about is having faith in the ability of the gospel to do its job, regardless of who's throwing out the net.
Yeah. Yep. So you remember, this is not far different really from the parable of the soils and how the sower just sowed on everything.
Right.
But not, you know, staying away from that. And I think sometimes it can be almost a subconscious comfort issue to sort of pre-qualify or pre-disqualify people. As you've said, you know, well, maybe they're probably not going to listen anyway. Well, we're only going to find that out one way.
So what ends up happening is that lets us off the hook.
Right.
If we're going to use fishing, right? So, I mean, but it's uh-huh. But it does. It's a little escape valve for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Jesus said there are folks who are close to the kingdom of heaven, but I certainly don't know who they are. And sometimes people surprise you. You know, there have been people who I, for better or worse, true story, for people that, you know, became Christians, and I thought, I don't know that they're going to make it. And then they did. I would not have anticipated that. I would not have bet on that number. And then there's others that, boy, you thought.
They have everything together.
Right. Every advantage.
Right.
And they bonk, you know, and they don't. And so I'm certainly not in a position where I can make that determination accurately as to who will and who won't. The only thing that really can do that is the Word of God, is the net itself. And our job is just to throw it out. And what it pulls in, it pulls in. And we'll do our best to encourage people along and to make the most of the time that we have with them to try and, encourage them to excel still more. But at the end of the day, the Lord's going to sort it all out. And he knows where everyone is supposed to end up. He knows where everybody is supposed to land. And we just have to trust that that's the way it's going to happen. So we do our job, which is cast the gospel, and we let the Lord do his job, which is sort everybody out. And we have to be content with that.
And we'll see you next time on Inner Man Radio.
Yeah, thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, you can be sure to never miss an episode by visiting innermanradio.org or get automatic notifications on your phone with the Inner Man Radio app. It's available on Google Play or Apple stores.